Well, is that our desire this afternoon? That all praise and glory go to Jesus? Amen. Raise your hands. Who all wants the praise and glory to all go to Jesus? Amen. That's right. Amen. I don't know if you have done this here this week yet or not, but I think I would like to spend a little time in prayer and just ask if you would all turn and kneel in your seats and let's just spend a little time praying together. Our Father in heaven, we look to you this afternoon. We look to you, Father, to feed us. We look to you, Father, to give us what we need. We look to you, Father, to tell us how to walk with you, to come along beside of us and just walk with us and show us how to walk. Father, we come to you this afternoon praying that your Holy Spirit would settle down upon us, Lord, and anoint our hearts, Father. Anoint our ears, Father. Anoint our lives, God, that we would give all the praise and glory to you, Father. That's our prayer this afternoon. Father, make this a holy place this afternoon. Come and walk among us, Father, and anoint our hearts and bless us, Lord. We ask you, Father, for your blessing. Come and give us, Father, what you know we need, each one of us. And we all have our individual needs, Lord. So I pray, O God, come and meet out all of our needs, each one of our needs. I pray, Father, come. Come, Lord, in your mighty power and in your infinite wisdom, who knows all things and are able to meet all needs and meet our needs this afternoon, Father. Show us, Lord, what we need to see. Teach us, Lord, what we need to know, Father. I pray in Jesus' name. For your glory and for your honor. Oh, Father, we worship you this afternoon. We worship you. You are the great God of all heaven. We love you this afternoon, Father. We want to learn, Father, how to walk with you today. A little deeper, with a little closer relationship. A little more in step. Father, I pray, God, come. Teach us how this afternoon. I pray in Jesus' name, that precious name, that man who hung on the cross, shed his blood, that we might learn how to walk with God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. There is a verse in Ezekiel that just kind of stuck out to me whenever I first learned I was to give this message here. It's in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30 says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." God says he sought for a man who would stand in the gap, fill in the hedge. He sought for a man, but he didn't find any. Well, you know, I think that's why we're here this week. I think that's why we're here this afternoon. That we might be the man that God could find, that we would stand in the gap, that we would fill in the hedge. I have a confidence that absolutely every one of you have that desire. That you would be the one. That God could look down. He could say, "You will do the job. You can do the job. Your life tells me that you can do what I need you to do." This afternoon, the title of my message is "The Leader and His Walk with God." You've had several teachings this week about the leader and his home and his family, his wife. This one is about his walk. The Lord seeks a man to make up the hedge, to stand in the gap for the land. A man who will walk with him stride for stride and stand when he calls him to stand. A man who will walk with God. in the midst of this crowd with the preaching of truth, to cause hearts to thrill and to leap. Our conscience is stricken. Conviction hits home. And we soften, we break, and we weep. And say, yes, Lord, I'll be that man. I'll be the man to go home to my family and offer a love-filled life. I'll be the man to be friends with my children and cherish and nourish my wife. I'm willing. I'll be that man. Perhaps you have tried it and it worked for a season. But the old habits surfaced again. Your wife and your children lose hope and respect as you wrestle once more with your sin. Lord, I wanted to be that man. You've looked on at others. They make it happen. Lord, what is the matter with me? I believe in Jesus. I see the provision, the path and the purpose I see. How can I be that man? Oh, brother, so many of us understand it, the yearning and longing desire. We've got the good wood and it's all stacked just so. But the thing that we lack is the fire. And we feel we're less of a man. His strength is sufficient, but yours will not do. Nor is there victory in an unused provision. My brothers, the parachute's ready and waiting, but you must make the decision. I give up, Lord. You make me that man. The devil is seeking to kill and destroy, but you never have to give in. Get a glimpse of his glory at the foot of the cross and be willing to call sin, sin. He'll change you into that man. The Lord seeks a man to make up the hedge, to stand in the gap for the land. Oh, brothers, my heart's cry today is just this. Are you willing to be that man? A man that walks with God. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. A brother prayed the other morning at a prayer meeting we had, praying for this seminar. He said, Lord, he said, we don't want just a visitation, we want a habitation. A visit is just for a limited amount of time. That's what you're here. You're all here for a visit. Many of you, most of you. But we don't want that with the Lord. We don't want that in our hearts. We want the Lord to come in and habitate us, make us, change us, live in us, live through us, to be our habitation, live here. Not just to visit us for one night and we go away and we lose it. We want the Lord to be our habitation. A couple of scriptures. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him. Is that your desire this afternoon? Is that your prayer? Is that your cry? The deep cry of your heart that says, God, I want to make my heart clean so that You can habitate me, so that You can come in with me and dwell with me. You know, just picture a man walking here, two men, say, walking side by side here. One man walking along. The other man is lagging behind, just dawdling back there. Is that walking with him? Or picture the man that is walking along here, and there's another man running on ahead saying, come with me, let's go, let's go on ahead here. Is that walking together? Or picture the man walking here with the son by his side, and he goes down this trail a little while, and then he runs and catches up, and then he looks up here at that, and is that walking together? Walking together. I like to think about it like this. You've probably seen the people who have trained where they walk together. We used to minister in a prison up in Idaho, and they had a little training exercise up there where the men would do certain, I don't know what you call it, certain things. They'd walk together, and it was very beautiful, really, timing to see how they walked together, and they would turn, and the way it all flowed together. That's walking together with God, when you walk together and everything just flows right through. That's what we want to do with God. We want to walk with Him. This walk with God is kind of like a man with a parachute. This life, we can have this parachute sitting here, and we've seen the effects of it. We've seen it when men jump out of the planes and they fall, and the parachute opens and it lets them float safely down to the ground. But this parachute's sitting here, and here we have a parachute, and we believe it. I know it'll work. It looks like it's getting good repair. Nothing wrong with it. I have faith in that parachute. But you know what? That parachute's not going to do you one bit of good unless you go down there, pick up that parachute, and put it on. Our walk with God is a little like that. We can have all kinds of good intentions, good desires, get beautiful teaching here. But unless we put it on, bring it into our hearts, apply it, let the Lord teach us what we need to be taught, it won't do any good. We can jump out of that plane without the parachute on, it's certain death. Same way, when we hear these teachings here, we can hear all the good teachings, but unless we put them on, we're going to jump out of that plane to certain death. And I must say, this is the teaching. If anything's taught other than the Bible, it's a false parachute. It's a parachute that will not open. It will not hold up. It is the Scriptures and the Scriptures alone who are the good parachute, the one that will float you safely to the ground. Life is very practical. You know, we get all these theological ideas about walking in the Spirit and about loving like Christ and all the beautiful doctrines are in the Scriptures, and they're right. But if we don't ever apply them into everyday work, they do no good. We go to our jobs and we get impatient or we get angry or we get frustrated with our children or our wife doesn't do something quite right and we let her have it. That's not walking with God. We must walk it out. It's a very practical thing. Like I said, the title of this message is The Leader and His Walk with God. I would like to talk about the leader just a little bit. What a leader is. How to lead. How are we supposed to walk as leaders? Are you a leader? You may ask yourself, well, I'm not a leader, or say, I'm not really a leader. I just have my family. I just go to work and I have a job and I work for somebody else. But I'm here to tell you this afternoon, you are a leader. God gave you the position of leadership. As a man, you have the position of leadership. It's given to you. It's not something you bought. You didn't pay for it. You didn't earn it. Because you're a man, you're a leader. It's your responsibility to lead. You, every single one of you, are a leader. And as you lead, the way you lead affects generations to come. You may think, I will only have a few children. That's true. But it affects that child, and then that child affects the next child, and they affect their neighbors and their friends. The way you lead, particularly in your home, as most of you here probably are leaders in your own home, maybe you're not all, those of you who are, you have the responsibility to lead your family because it affects many generations to come. For many generations, the Lord tarry. The way you walked out your life, the way you put on that parachute, The way you believe in that parachute and put it on will affect many generations. It will affect your children and their friends, and the ripples just widen, ever widen. We are all leaders. How do you be a leader? I would like to look just a little bit and briefly about how God leads. How does God lead? The supreme, perfect example, the God of all heaven. How does He lead? Well, in Psalm chapter 27, verse 11, David says, Teach me Thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. That plain path means a simple path, a straight path, a clear path. Lead me that way. The Hebrew, that word mine in the Hebrew means those which observe me. Or what he's saying is, teach me Thy way, O Lord, lead me in a plain path because of those which observe me. So we have a responsibility to those who observe us. Teach me. David's prayer, his cry, the man of God who walked with God, the man who was, I can't get the quote now. He was a man after God's own heart, thank you. He said, Lord, teach me to walk in a plain path because of those which observe me. God leads in a plain path. His ways are very straight, very clear, very simple. That's the way we need to be too. We don't need to get caught up in some of this high-sounding theology. I've heard it out there before. We get caught up in the theology of all, you know, how grace works and how all that coincides all together. And you can get all caught up in these lofty theologies. But my point today is this walk with God is a very simple, straightforward path. God leads like a shepherd. There in Psalm 23, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 77, it says, Thou leddest Thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. This is the way God leads. I'm holding this up to you this afternoon, my brothers. This is the way God leads. This is the way He wants us to lead. He doesn't want us to lead with a whip or with a demand or with a command. He wants us to lead like a shepherd. Show the way. Walk the path. Show the way. Constantly, simply, consistently walking the path. This is how God leads, like a shepherd. He doesn't drive His sheep. He leads His sheep. This is the way God leads. This is the way God's example of a leader. God led the children of Israel with a purpose and with a vision. He knew where He was going. That's the way God leads too. That's the way we should lead too. When we set out on our Christian life, or we set out on our married life, or we set out in our church life, whatever life you want to say, we need to get a vision. We need to have purpose that we're going somewhere. Just as soon as we lose our vision and we lose our purpose, we're going to get sidetracked. We're going to get led astray a little bit. Our path is not going to be plain and clear and simple. We need purpose. We need vision. We need to know where we're going. What do you want in this walk with God? What do you want? What do you want? This walk with God, as you go through life, the opportunity is yours here. What do you want? It's up to you. God is willing and God is able. We can walk in the fullness of the power of God. We can walk above sin. We can walk in ways of righteousness. We can walk that way. It's up to us. When we are willing to put that parachute on, trust that parachute that God has given us, we put it on and we jump out of the plane when we're willing to do that, God will fill us with power. That parachute's going to open and it's going to float us safely to the ground. And that's the way it is when we walk with God. When we put our faith and our trust in the living God, in Him 100%, when we put our faith there, we walk with Him and He walks with us, we have power. Him living in us, Him dwelling in us, Him filling us up and overflowing out of us. When we put Him on, when we take that kind of a life, when we make that kind of a decision, have that kind of a purpose, we have power. God will give us power to walk on. It's up to us. Each of us has an opportunity to choose. Am I going to take hold of that power or not? Will you stand in the gap? Will you fill this place for this place that God is looking for a man to fill in the gap? Will you? The choice is yours this afternoon. What do you want to do? Do you want to walk with God every minute of every hour of every day of your life? It's up to you. He's willing. He's ready. He's able. It's up to you. Will you stand in the gap to save the land? How do we walk with God? How do we do it? Just how do we do it? What do the Scriptures say about what we should do or what we shouldn't do? How do we walk with God? Maybe even some real practical illustrations as we go along here would be good. I'll try to do that. How do we walk with God? Well, one way I found as I searched the Scriptures, I found that when we walk with God, we must walk in the light. We must walk in the light that we have. Information and teachings about how to walk, and we can read the Scriptures and they can show us what's right and what's wrong and how we should walk and how we shouldn't walk and what our attitude should be or what our attitude shouldn't be. We can get all of that. But if we don't walk in those things we've been taught, we're not walking in the light. And we're going to have to walk in the light with what we know in order to walk with God. We must walk in the light. 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship, koinonia, one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." When we walk in the light, we're cleansed from sin. Walk in the light that you know. When you hear the conviction of God and you feel the conviction of God upon your heart, you must respond in order to be walking in the light. If you just ignore it and you say, "Oh, that's just a little thing. Remember the poem calling sin, sin. That's just a little thing." You're not walking in the light. You're not walking with God. How do we walk with God? We respond to that conviction. It is a blessing when God gives us a conviction upon our hearts. It's a blessing. It's not a curse. It's not a hard thing. It's a blessing from God. God wants to give us this conviction so that we can be free, so that we can walk with Him, so that we can receive the fullness of the power that He has to give. You know, we're here without excuse. Will we be able to stand before God and say, "God, I didn't know I was supposed to respond to that conviction on my heart. I thought that was just a little thing. I know they said we should take care of it. Oh, it's just a little thing. I didn't know." We can't say that. We all know. When there's a conviction of the Holy Spirit upon our heart, we must respond. We all have no excuse. Now we're all walking in the light. We are fed so rich of a diet. I wonder if we know how blessed we are to be here. Yes, there's blessings outside of here. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying here's the only place you get blessings. No, that's not true. But there is blessings here. I guess I would encourage you, brothers, this afternoon when you go to your prayer group to spend a little time thanking God for the blessing that you have of receiving the Word of God so powerfully here as you have received it in the past and so pure here. It's so right. Spend time thanking God for some of those things. Over in Luke chapter 12, verse 41, Peter asked Jesus, he said, maybe I should just turn to it. Luke chapter 12, verse 41, he says, Peter said unto the Lord, said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all? And he had just got done, had just given the parable of the servants watching or not, and how the thief could break into the house if they were not watching. So he was telling them that if you watch, you can keep the thief out. If you don't watch, the thief can come in. And so he was, and he said there right before that, he said, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Then Peter asked him that question. And Jesus' answer then was that, who then is that wise, faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household and to give him their meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord when he cometh shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, this is Jesus talking, that he will make him a ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming and shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants and to eat and to drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him at an hour when he is not aware and will cut him in sunder and will point him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. To him to whom men have committed much, of him will they ask the more. We have no excuse. If we don't walk in all the light that we have been given, which we have been given, much light, and we are very responsible, absolutely responsible for what we have heard all this week and what we read in the Scriptures, you have the opportunity here. If you can take this responsibility and if you apply it into your life, this is right. And you have no excuse. You cannot say, well, I didn't know. The principle here is that if you know it, you're responsible. If you don't know it, you're not responsible. But that's kind of a catchy thing because you all know all that you know. And so you are required by God to do all the things that you know. What that says is there may be people out there who don't do all the things you do. If they don't know it, Jesus says they're not required to do it. He says there, unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. But those who, and he that knew not and did things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. So my point is this morning, I don't want to get into that theology of what's required of everybody else out there so much as I just want to make it clear here today that the purpose and the point that Jesus is making here is that you're responsible for what you know. The excuse that the less I know, the better off I am, will not work. You know, it's like I like to give this example, this illustration. It's like apples on a tree. A tree, an apple tree, it blossoms. His little bud starts swelling there behind that little blossom. Before long, I don't know at what stage, but before long, at some stage, you call that little thing an apple. It's just a little green apple. It's not a pear, it's not a peach, it's not a stone, it's an apple. Even though it's a little green thing, it's an apple. As time goes along, that apple continues to be fed and is nourished, and it begins to grow and gets bigger and bigger, and eventually it turns into a red, ripe, juicy apple. Sweet apple. Full ripe fruit. That's an apple. That big, red, juicy apple is an apple. Now, was that little green, hard knot back here on the tree, was that an apple? Not fully developed, but it was an apple. And that's the same way it is with us. We don't need to look at somebody else and say, he's not doing what I'm doing, so therefore he's wrong. That is wrong. He's an apple, just like you are an apple. You may be a full, red, ripe, juicy fruit, fully sweet. You may be. Praise God that you are. But somebody else may not be. Nurture him. Care for him. Encourage him. He's an apple. You know, this life and this walk of life is kind of like crossing a river on stones. A fast-flowing river. But there are stones there that we can walk across on. We can step from one stone to the next. And all of our rivers are different depths. They are different widths. They have different stones. But we all have a way to get across this river. As soon as we fall from those stones, as soon as we misstep, as soon as we disobey, as soon as we sin again, we fall down into that river. And we're going to get washed away. Unless we, like Peter, say, Lord, save me. That's the way life is. This walk with God, we take a step. And we stand on the stone that He has placed there. And then we take another step. And we stand on that stone. And then we take another step. And we don't know how long we'll have to do this until we reach the other side. Eventually we will. If we'll stay on those stones. If we'll continue in the things we've been taught. If we'll obey the Scriptures as we learn them. If we continue on in that path, seeking God, we will get across. Safely even. You know, there's some people as they walk across that path. You may look over there and see somebody else walking, and he's got nice flat stones to walk on. And they're about this far apart, just real close. Nice, easy walking. And you've got these moss-covered stones, and they're round on top, and they're long ways apart. You may look over and see somebody like that. That's okay. Your place is to walk on the stones God has given you. You need to just be thankful for this one thing, that you have stones to step on. You may not have those flat stones like everybody else, but you've got stones to step on. Hallelujah.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. If you would like to listen to part two of this message, please press 8 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 9-9. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 8-8. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 7-7. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.